Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jack.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And our guest today is going to be Brenda Johnson, and we will be talking about the cult of the emergent church and how it is really the New Age movement that has infiltrated the church today. The Bible says that in the end times, many shall depart from the faith. If you look at 1 Timothy 4, the Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." So we see that happening, and it never ceases to amaze me, really, that every day I hear something or see something that's happening in the so-called church or on what they call Christian television, which most of it is far from it. How quickly things are happening around us, how the false prophets and the false teachers are trying to silence people with having their YouTube channels taken down. I think there's a day coming, really, when it's going to be harder and harder to expose the false teachings and the false prophets, because if you try to play one of their audios or one of their videos and you try to show people and let them hear for themselves what these people are saying and what they're doing, then they try to shut you down. They claim these phony copyright infringements so that they can censor you. And I found that sometimes I'll quote people if I'm doing a video for my YouTube channel. And my new YouTube channel is Prophetic News TV, in case anybody's looking for it, because Paula White, and I put ministries in quotes because I don't know what kind of ministry goes and shuts somebody down. I think that's really mean. It's a mean thing to do. So it's going to get harder and harder to expose these people, because even if I quote them, people don't believe it. They'll write me these emails, "They never said that." So you have to have the audio or the video so the people can hear it for themselves, but it's going to get harder and harder. I don't know why these people, if they are saying these things and if they're teaching these things, why are they trying to hide it? Then why do they try to hide it from people? And they don't want you telling people what they're doing and what they're saying. It's strange, isn't it? That's really strange. Why does a Bible teacher, a real born-again, spirit-filled believer, why are we trying to hide what we're teaching? That's strange, isn't it? So that should give you some pause when you go to donate to these people or you're listening to their teachings, that why are they trying to hide what they really believe? So the information is out there. Most people don't want to do the research and take the time out to study the false teachers and the false doctrines, we see that people really want to believe just about anything today, and then they're always with the don't judge. Well, the Bible says that we are supposed to judge. You're supposed to judge righteous judgments. We are supposed to judge doctrine, sound doctrine. We don't just accept any kind of doctrine in the church and then we just say, well, just pray for that person. No, it's ridiculous. You can't. The Bible says that a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. So the admonition means that you admonish them, that you tell people about what they're doing. And if they don't accept it, reject the heretic. That's what the Bible says. So I think that if we're Christians and we're following the Bible, then we need to follow the Bible. Amen? And I'm going to bring my guest on now, and this is Brenda Johnson of As the Day Approaches. And Brenda is a Bible teacher. She's got a program on Blog Talk Radio, too. So she's one of the, I would call her an expert in the emergent church and in about the Muslims. And she really, really does her research. One of my favorite guests to bring on. Hi, Brenda.
Hey. I feel really honored with such an introduction.
Well, I sincerely mean that because of all the, there's so many people out there, there's so many voices, and there's really very few people that are knowledgeable on subjects that take the time really to do the research, because it does take many, many hours of research to do the programs that you do and to gather the information that you do. So I really appreciate that so very much, because I always find that when I have you here on the program, it's so informative, and I learn so much, because I don't take that much time to study the topics that you do. So I appreciate it, and you are really, truly one of my favorite Bible teachers, so I sincerely mean that. But let's talk about the emergent church, and I know we've done a couple programs about this in the past, but we might have some new listeners. And for the listeners, we do have the chat room is open, and you can go into the chat room, and we appreciate your comments. Also, it is a live call-in show. If you'd like to call in, it's 914-338-1638 if you have a question. And I see the comment in the chat room. Hi, Brother Vincent. And it says, according to the false teachers, we are the heretics. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. We are actually the Pharisees, and we're the judgmental. Yeah, we are the heretics,
yeah.
According to, it's really the last days where they're saying that right is right, wrong, and right is wrong is right. It's I knew it was coming, but did you imagine it was going to be that bad? I'm sorry,
no,
you're
I
having
didn't
issues.
Imagine that. I really didn't, because now I've been saved 31 years, and so we always heard about the end times, and we heard about the falling away, and we heard about the apostasy. And so I always thought it would probably be not in my lifetime that I was going to see it. And I am really shocked at the rapid, it's happening so rapidly, and it could be very confusing, especially to new Christians.
It is very confusing. And you know what I found? I'm really frustrated by the fact that whenever I study a false teaching, that one of the things they say quite often is, be a Berean, study. Don't just take what I hear, but study the scriptures and show yourself approved. And then they say, they quote to the very passages that say, beware of false teachers. But they're teaching a false teaching. They're actually teaching. But when somebody says that, then they think, oh, well, you know, he's saying to be a Berean, so he must or she must know what they're talking about, and then they don't do it. They just listen to what they say, and I'm baffled by this because I go, you know, Lord, what is Satan's strategy here? Well, I'm very strategic, so I think this way, and I think, you know what he's doing? He is trying to make it so confusing to know who is right and who is wrong by taking our lines or taking the things that we are trying to tell people to be careful of these false teachers, and he is using them to where nobody can say it anymore, you know, and really be honestly truthful. You know, unless you really know the scriptures, you're not going to know the difference between is right and is wrong.
It's like, I guess they call it double speak, and I see that a lot now on what they call Christian television, but it's far from Christian television. I heard someone saying a few of these false teachers, like Steve Muncy, one of the worst false teachers out there, and he says he's taking up these so-called seed faith offerings, and you could buy salvation, you can buy healing. You have to tip God. You have to give him a tip, and then God does miracles for you. So, but he says it. He says, "Oh well, you know, you can't bribe God. No, you can't bribe God." But then, out of the other side of his mouth, he's telling people, "Then, but you know, you have to do it with your heart. You have to bring him a gift. You have to bring him an offering. And when he sees your heart when you bring up that offering, then of course God Almighty Himself jumps off the throne, and He just has to give you a miracle." So, yeah,
he actually says it that way. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not you know, paraphrasing a little bit, but yeah, basically he says it that way. And
you
so
have the power to get God to get up.
Yeah,
you have the power to get him
you
up
know,
off his throne.
You got to run to the phone right now. You have to go right now, because if you could miss your moment, Now this is so insane, because they actually have people believing that if they jump off their sofa or whatever at that particular moment and run to the phone and give, they always make it very religious, and give God $1,000, then he's gonna perform for you. I mean, they actually have people believing that, and of course then the phones are ringing off the hook and everybody's running to the phone, and you see that a lot, that they'll take a scripture and they'll say one thing, but then they go right to the manipulating. They go right to it. So,
Satan is a manipulator, and he has something for everyone, something that everyone is attracted to. So, you know, I work at, even though I went to Assembly of God, I don't do the same type of studies that you do. And so we all come together and we work together, you know, as far as the faith movement. Of course, I've seen that. I studied the Todd Bentley stuff in Lakeland, Florida. I did all that stuff. But all the studies say that I, you know, spend time doing, I get a rush out of studying like this. It's just so exciting to me to study.
Yeah.
So so we all have our gifts, and we all have our abilities to confront and do what God has told us to do. And I'm excited for radio that we have the opportunity to do it. Because even within the church, as a woman myself, I am actually, you know, apologetic gifts are not very acceptable in a lot of
they're not acceptable.
Well, for women, especially.
Especially from a woman.
Yeah, especially from a woman.
And that still exists
prideful.
Today. Yeah. That still exists today. But it's...
Yeah.
But
I have
the
more
thing
freedom
is,
on
thank
the internet,
God for our freedom in Christ, you know.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, in the emerging church, you know, and the New Age, I say that the emerging church is just the New Age remorphed and repackaged in the church.
Years ago, I had a friend, I think her name was Alyssa Lindsay McLean, and she wrote a book, and this was back in the 80s, and she had come out of the New Age movement. She was very, very involved in it. And So she had, I was in the Word of Faith movement at the time, and she had given me her book, and you know, I read it, but I thought, well, poor, you know, the poor girl, she just doesn't know how wonderful this Word of Faith movement really is. But I think about her often because she was exposing the New Age teachings in these movements at that time, back in the 80s, and of course people didn't really want to hear it back then. They still don't want to hear it in droves, but I think there's more people listening now. I could tell by just how many people listen to the program and then how many people have gone to the YouTube channel, that people really are listening more than they have been. There are more people coming over to our side. I don't think it's ever going to be the majority, but I think that there's more and more people that are starting to question things that are happening in these churches. And so thank God for that.
Yeah, and well, you know, in the emerging church movement, is I think the New Age was a little bit easier to decipher and to know what they're talking about because they made themselves obvious in what they're saying. And the church in the 1980s was excited about booting them out of the church. They were trying to get in the church, and we were defending our faith, and we were saying, no way, we're not letting you in our church. Are you kidding?
Right.
That's awful. You know,
come on in.
it's been remorphed, and people don't realize that the emerging church are the liberal theologians we kicked out years ago, and it's just repackaged in different terminology. And the New Age movement, that was their goal, was to make it acceptable to society. And one of them said, this is, I'll quote something, one of the biggest advantages we have as New Agers is once the occult, metaphysical, and New Age terminology is removed, we have concepts and techniques that are very acceptable to the general public. So we change the names to demonstrate the power. In so doing, we open the door to millions who normally would not be receptive. That was by a guy named Dick Stufen, Infiltrating the New Age into Society. And that was in 1986. So they were trying to get into the society. And, of course, we as a church, I think we were just good at defending what we believed at that point. But now they've done it. They've actually
They've done it. They've done it because when you go to defend the faith now, and the Bible says to earnestly contend for the faith, then when you go to do that, then you're accused of being judgmental and you don't have any love, and you're the one that's made to look like the bad person. But I remember that there was an uproar in the church. We knew the New Age movement was trying to get in. And they said that they were going to send people in. And they really have. They've been very effective at what they've done to bring so much heresy in, so many false teachings. And they have basically lulled the church to sleep. And now it's just you can believe anything and God loves you, and very, very hard to get people to study their Bibles and to find out what the Bible says for themselves.
Well, I'll even tell you what they're doing with the Bible. They're actually taking our very words and changing the meanings of them. They're going back and saying, well, we're going to go back to how the apostles lived and how what Jesus really said. They'll go to the scriptures. They'll change the whole entire meaning of the passage. And it's not just putting it in another context. It's actually what Brian McLaren says, changing the puzzle lid, the picture. We have the wrong picture on the puzzle, and we're trying to put this puzzle together, is what he says. And all the while, we're trying to fit the pieces together, and we've had the wrong picture all along. So therefore, we got to go back to these basic scriptures and rethink them and decide, wait a minute, this is what it really means. And so they're actually not even going to the scripture. You know, they're just saying, you know, you can believe anything. They're actually, I would say, they are distorting and manipulating the scriptures in such a way that no one has ever done before. Do you know that Jesus died on the cross, according to Brian McLaren, who is, I call the guru of the emerging church movement, that he died on the cross not for his sins, because God would be so cruel to kill his son for somebody else's fault. So there is no atonement. He died on the cross because he spoke out against the Roman government, and Rome killed him because he was trying to bring a new revolution of peace and hope, and they didn't want that. They wanted to suppress him. That's why they said he died on the cross. And we, as followers of Jesus, he is only a leader who started this movement, and we've got to take this movement to conclusion.
Wow. Now, you know what you're saying about them changing words, and I know a couple years ago I found something on the Internet about dictionaries, and actually I think it was the Funk and Wagnalls dictionary. It's written by occultists. So they actually even have published dictionaries. So, yeah, they can take words and they can change meanings of words. And they've got all these Bible versions now. They've got, I don't know how many Bible versions they've brought in. So you can get the Bible to say just about anything you want now. I remember one Bible version I had years ago. It actually had the word metaphysical in it. And I can't remember which one that was. But, I mean, when I saw that word, I said, now that's a word I should be afraid of. I shouldn't want that word in my Bible. And Brenda, tell people, who are the leaders of the emergent church movement? Who are some of the people that we should be looking out for?
Well, let me do something first before that. I want to read my list of leaders from the New Age movement and see how many names that anybody recognizes. And then I'm going to read the names that I have for the core leadership of the emerging church movement. And I'm saying the core is because there are so many people speaking on behalf of the emerging church movement today that is very hard to distinguish who the core people are. So, and the only reason I know who they are is because when I was trying to figure out this movement, I found one person, Brian McLaren, and then I went to his book and I saw who forwarded his material or who was endorsing who. And so that way I found all these core leaders of the group. I did this all myself because there is nothing out there about them, nothing. And this is in, 2006? And so it's only been 5 years.
Oh.
And they started in 1997. And it started to become popular as far as saying emerging.
Seeker-friendly, too. They talked a lot about seeker-friendly churches.
This was up and beyond. It came from, it was different than the boomer church, the seeker-friendly church, and the traditional churches. And it sprang out of that in 1997 to 2001. And by 2003, the term emerging church became more and more popular, and other websites started using it to describe churches, et cetera. So, and just within that period of time, we see this huge burst of the emerging church and the emergent. And there's actually a different, there is actually a difference between emerging and emergent, but it's not what people think. Emerging is the same and interchangeable with emergent. People think that there's a difference, but there's not, according to the core leaders. The core leaders who coined these terms said the emerging is something that's coming to the surface that we have not yet know what that is. You know, we don't know what conversation this is, but something's coming to the surface and we're really excited. Emerging was talking about the style, function, of how you do your service? Is it different? Emergent focused on the theological concept within them, the movement. So that's the only difference between those two words. Some people say be aware of emergent, and the other people say be aware of emerging, or the emerging is okay. And I say, why would you even want to take a name or even a close name and put it on your church that has such horrible, horrible theology?
Yeah.
So anyway, okay. So here is the name.
We have a caller, and I'm going to bring the caller on in just a few minutes. But go ahead, Brenda, with the name.
Okay. So here's some names. This is New Age leaders, and there's a reason I'm going to do this, because I think it's kind of fascinating, and I have a point to this. Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. Alice Bailey.
Ooh.
Benjamin Krem. Marilyn Ferguson. These are New Age leaders. David Spangler. Thomas Berry. Annie Besant. Peter and Ellen Caddy. Fritjof Capra. Matthew Fox, Donald Keyes, Jessica Lipnack, and Lewis Mumford. Okay, and I'm just testing all the listeners. The listeners, do you know who those are? Have you heard of them? Maybe not. Maybe you haven't heard them. They're kind of strange. Some of the names are strange, but these were all very popular in the 80s. Okay, now when I go to the emerging church leaders, now test yourself and see how many names you know of the emerging church leaders. Brian D. McLaren, Rob Bell, Dan Kimball, Doug Padgett, Tony Jones, Phyllis Tickle, Leonard Sweet, Richard Rohr, N.T. Wright, Brenning Manning, Spencer Burke, and Samir Simonovic. Now, you might know in this list more people on this list than the first lists that gave you, but you know they teach similar things. This only was the reason I did it this way, is so that you can kind of see that they weren't as known back then, unless you're really into the New Age movement or studying it like I did back in the 80s.
Yeah.
If you knew the New Age movement, you would be familiar with some of the New Age leaders' names. But a lot of people are familiar with the emerging church leaders. And some of these core leaders, now they're just saying, well, you know, I know this leader who says he's emerging. Like, for one of them is David Platt, who I hold responsible for bringing this movement into the Baptist church. Amazing. How can the Baptist church allow something like this into their church?
Oh, yeah,
when
they were
really
strict at one time. Wow, you knew if you were going to a Baptist church, more you were going to hear the gospel. You know, you could pretty well count on it. But let me bring this caller on and see what the caller has to say. Hello, caller. How are you today?
Hi, Susan. You never guess who this is calling.
It's James.
How are you, dear sister? Well, I'm not supposed to be on today, but I felt
I'm glad you joined us. Yeah. Thank you for pulling in.
You're welcome. Well, I want to pay. Is this Brenda Shearer? Or who is this that I'm
Brenda Johnson.
Johnson. Well, I think Brenda, you were a guest before with Susan, right?
Yes, I was.
And
on this topic.
I believe I sent a high commendation to you directly or to Susan for your articulation on the emerging church. You're very well spoken and very solid, so I just want to pay you tribute.
Yay, thank you. And, you know, I did see you on that video that was made about the emerging church. Your face was on there. I didn't see you speak that much, but you were actually in the clips there, and it's a really well-done two-hour production on the video of the emerging church. I don't know what it's called. I don't have my Facebook. You know what that is.
Great. Well, as you know, Carol Matriciana has done a great film on that subject as well, and I did the one with former Roman Catholic priest Richard Bennett, who was 22 years We did a thing together. He talked about it in terms of the mysticism emerging church in Roman Catholicism, that it all you see the same things again in the Protestant church. And then I described it more from the perspective of most of the people on the list you just cited, Brenda, that is in Rick Warren, the Purpose Driven Church, and the emerging church overlaps the emerging church. They're becoming almost indistinguishable.
Correct. And I didn't mention Rick Warren only because he's not a core leader of the emerging church, but he endorses those core leaders of the emerging church. He is actually endorsing Dan Kimball and Brian McLaren at one point. He's actually got quotes through the book of the emerging church that Dan Kimball wrote. That was the very first book I read. So I was quite surprised that, well, I guess I shouldn't be, but I was quite surprised how much he quoted in that book and allowed himself to be a friend, the emerging church. So, but that's, I didn't mention Rick Warren because he is not really known for pushing this theology. He's pushing some of the leaders, but not the theology of it necessarily, as far as creating it to be vogue. Brian McLaren, I say, is the big guru because he has got like 15 books just alone on the emerging church. And I have about 8 of his books. So I go right straight to the source and I read it. And I struggle when I read it because you should see my books. I write and I say my comments throughout the whole entire book. I was quite surprised, and this might be interesting to some of the leaders, is that when I went through a good book by Walter Martin called The New Age Cult, I was going through that just to, you know, to kind of catch myself back up on the emerging church, I mean the New Age movement, since it had been years. I've got all the Unmasking the New Age, you know, by Douglas Griffith.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
well,
all the books.
Walter Martin, he was right in there exposing things. Back in the day.
But he actually has a concise, and if anybody wants to get his book, it's not very long. It's The New Age Cult. And it actually really is a very good, concise thing on the New Age. So you can see exactly how the New Age is lining, you know, the emerging church lines up with the New Age. And he has 10 key doctrines. And there is 3 doctrines in here that I was really shocked that I was thinking, you know, the book The Shack. I was like, This is in the shack. I spent more than 60 hours studying William P. Young and The Shack and all his interviews and the book, you know, because when I read the book, people said, oh, you got to read it. And I was having people that weren't Christian saying, have you read The Shack? Knowing I'm a Christian, and they're saying, have you read The Shack? And I go, no, I have it. I haven't read it because I had bought it a year before that time because I needed a book that was kind of different, you know. And I went to the Christian bookstore and I said, can you give me like a fiction book that is kind of different? And then they told me this, and then it was really different. But I work with domestic violence. So when I heard it was this girl was murdered and killed and sexually abused, I go, I bought it, but I said, I don't know if I want to read it. So I let it sit there for a year. So I didn't even read it until this Christian was telling me, or non-Christian was telling me to read it. And then in my life group at church, my leaders were saying, we got to read The Shack. You got to read The Shack. So I was going, wait a minute. Why is a non-Christian telling me this and a Christian telling me this? Is this guy really, really good that he actually was able to capture 2 different sides of the coin and get him excited on both sides? So what is this famous writer? So I read it, and I said, okay, I've been told by those in the church, and this is in my life group at church, a Baptist church, by the way, to get to the end. Don't judge it until you get to the end. So I thought, okay, I'm going to get to the end. The first few pages, I was shocked. And then it got worse as I went along. And I was putting stuff on Facebook like, I'm told I'm supposed to get to the end, but You know, I was taught that know the truth so well that error will just jump out at you. And these pages are jumping high. I was like, and I don't know what to do because they say get to the end. Well, I get to the end, and it was worse than the beginning. And I said, I don't know why we're accepting this stuff. But when I read, you know, when I was doing the study on the emerging church, and this is before I even got into really studying wholeheartedly the emerging church movement, but the atonement here is, in one point, big part of our Christian faith. It says, Jesus, in milder forms, a parent says, this hurts me more than it hurts you, and feels exonerated in beating a child. Can you believe your father really thinks this way? It is so essential that all such things be dispelled that we must be sure that nothing of this kind remains in your mind. I was not punished because you were bad. God does not believe in retribution. His mind does not create that way. He does not hold your evil deeds against you. This is what the New Age believes, and we have adopted that in the emerging church movement. And that's exactly what the Shack said. They said, oh, you know what? God, God is not going to judge you. Sin is actually being healed by how people hurt you in the past. And no, he is not going to, you know, kill his son and discipline his son because of what you did. The whole atonement is at stake with this. And this is New Age. New Age theology, and also the other part of heaven and hell and the last judgment. They don't believe that God is going to judge. They believe that they say the theological dogma be true to be a true professing Christian and live in a somewhat fatuous heaven, or refuse to be an accepting Christian or a negative professional Christian and go to the impossible hell, a hell growing out of the theology of the Old Testament and its presentation of a God full of hate and jealousy. Both concepts are today repudiated by all sane, sincere, thinking people. No one of any true reasoning power or with any true belief in a God of love accepts the heaven of the churchmen or has any desire to go there. Still less do they accept the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, or the everlasting torture to which a God of love is supposed to condemn all who do not believe in the theological interpretations of the Middle Ages, of the modern fundamentalists, or of the unreasoning churchmen who seeks through doctrine, fear, and threat to keep people in line with the obsolete old teaching. That is New Age. That is almost verbatim what the emerging church says.
Oh,
about.
My.
And that is
clear that the Young was teaching the virtually the obliteration of substitutionary atonement. You can't get around Christ. He's there to, God put upon him to be the atonement, to pay the wrath of all that have sinned. And that's why he said, why hast thou rejected, drawing a blank here, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he became the sin offering and took the wrath of God. That's why he came to the earth. He didn't come to just perform miracles.
That's right.
All Christianity is at stake. If it's not one of the four pillars, it's the axle.
Yeah.
Right.
We're in a very, very strange day. And Brenda and I were talking about this at the beginning of the program, how we can't believe how rapidly things are happening, the changes, and really the great separation, I think, that's coming with the true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and the ones that claim to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, how there really is going to be a division and a separation of people that really want to contend for the faith and to hold on to the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God and the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet now we see how they're trying to promote this doctrine of universalism and, oh, well, no, there's no hell, and everybody gets saved in the end. And it's very frightening. It really is. And who knows how much longer, really, we're going to have these radio programs to do.
Yeah, and they're just coming out and monitoring, I can't even speak, the Facebook and seeing who's going to be a terrorist and who's not.
Yeah,
who's
now they're going to start spying on you more than ever.
Yeah, and so that's going to be, you know, I'm already on the chopping block, especially if Islam gets into power. So, you know,
I started to do a video of one of our programs, and I thought, oh boy, this is really going to make people angry. This teaching, especially, it's going to make Muslims angry. So you could see that. I don't know how much more time we really have, and we're not going to even be allowed. Forget it. We're not allowed on Christian television. They would never have any of us on a Christian television program on these networks. And
your last blog on your website, Susan, was talking about you're being censored from YouTube. What's the latest report on that?
Well, I have been setting up a new channel. It's very frustrating to try to get all the videos back up, and then I have to edit some of them. And I had written, I wrote a letter over, an email over to the Paula White Ministries. For the listeners that don't know Paula White Ministries, and I put ministries in quote because I don't understand this kind of ministry that tries to censor people and is mean enough to pull somebody's YouTube channel off without first calling them or sending me an email and finding out if there was a way to resolve the fact that I used her photograph, you know, big deal, in a few of the videos I did about her when, you know, she's a public figure, her photograph is out there, she's on television, and it's called fair use. But anyway, I had sent an email over to Frank White, and I'm not sure if Frank White is Paula's ex-husband's father or brother or uncle or who he is, but I had talked to him about 2 months ago about the vandalism at their property in Lakeland. But I sent him an email and I asked him about resolving the issue if there was a photograph that they truly did own. I'm not sure if they even own those photographs, or who copyrights every photograph of themselves. You know, I doubt seriously that they copyright hundreds of photographs of Paula, but they can claim a copyright infringement, and they don't have to prove it on YouTube.
Well, I went and defended David Flang, who had produced my mysticism, the video I did on Emerging Church and Mysticism with Richard Bennett. And he's got millions of hits on some of his stuff, and somebody said that he was committing a plagiarism, so they took off his entire channel, and I went to bat for him and told the people that were coming against him to cease and desist, or they better supply proof if they don't want a lawsuit. And so YouTube contacted them, and they never got back, and so a period of time had to go by, and his whole channel was restored back on there. So the exact same thing happened. So I totally relate to what happened to you, and my heart goes out to you, but it just shouldn't be that easy to be censored.
No, mm-hmm. It shouldn't be. And now I'm not so thrilled with YouTube or Facebook or the rest of it. I don't know about these people, because and they call themselves ministries, and they don't like what you're saying about them. Of course,
I'm not reporting any news that's not already out there. These news stories were already out there. I'm merely reporting the news stories. So I'm not making stuff up about them, or I'm not hiring a private detective to go around and spy on their life. I'm just reporting the stories. And they can file these copyright infringements with you on YouTube, but they shouldn't be allowed to do that unless they file a lawsuit against you and go to court and prove that there is a copyright infringement. And when they win the case, then they should be able to take your channel down. Not just that they just want to silence you, so they file these things. And then you have to, when you want to file a counter complaint, you have to provide your home address and all this personal information to them, so that if they decide that they want to send you a lawsuit or a subpoena, they can do that. So it's ridiculous.
Legally, all of us are a guest on YouTube, so they don't even have to have a reason. They can remove you. If it were in a public forum, like you were out on the in a public park or something like that, that's a First Amendment issue.
But
YouTube isn't really unlike a nonprofit organization church, where you all they have to do is not like your hair color. I have no reason
yeah.
they can ask you to leave. It's private property. So YouTube is private property, just like a church is. I wish one could stand up and oppose a false teacher in there, but you have more rights on the streets to protest a false teacher than you do in a church.
Well, and that's a spiritual narrative, if I use the word that's popularized today, of, you know, YouTube just automatically just taking you off without even doing any investigation. The same thing, that the church is so busy doing so many other things that they don't even have time to biblically go about addressing issues within the church, because they're way too busy. So the ones that make the most noise are the ones that get the attention, and then they just not, you know, cut off anybody that they don't like or they're having, you know, complaints about. And it's really maybe the person that's complaining about them that is the issue, you know. So, you know, it just kind of same thing, you know. YouTube doesn't care to do the investigation, and sometimes the church doesn't either. So,
no,
unfortunately.
It's the same thing, like you said. It's getting to be the same thing, that where you think that you could go and have freedom to express yourself, and then you can't have that freedom there either to express yourself.
Yeah.
So it's going to be harder and harder to prove to people who these people really are. Because I it's not persecution. I mean, it's not persecution. Yeah, we haven't even reached that point where it's really persecution.
Yeah.
But we're going to get to that place where I could see that it's really going to be persecution for anyone that tries to come against this Antichrist spirit that abides with these people that call themselves Christians, when I doubt seriously any of them can really be saved. How can you be a saved person and you sell miracles?
Yeah.
Who among us?
Sadly.
The anointing oil on the these letters, these asking for money, that a prophet has put oil on this there and has already blessed you in advance, and you just need to send the money now.
Yeah, it's the whole Catholic Church system. And we're seeing that whole thing, the beast, coming into existence right before our eyes. So anyway, like I said, I wrote to Frank White, and I said, well, let me know, you know, if we can resolve the issue, because I'd like my channel to go back up. I spent hundreds of hours. I mean, my videos aren't fabulous, because I'm just learning how to do video, so I try, but I try to emphasize the content more than the actual video presentation. But I asked him to let me know which photographs belong to them, and I would take the photographs down, but just please let me know, let me hear from you, and let's try to resolve it. They never even answered me. They don't even care
They don't care about their building that they have over there in Lakeland. My friend was back over there yesterday. They have a Paula White left deserted in Lakeland, Florida, a 10,000-seat sanctuary, and an old historic building that has about 300 rooms to it. And it's being vandalized. My friend was there yesterday, and she took more photographs. And they've even broken out more windows and more doors to the place because they can't hire a security guard to watch it. The electricity's turned off. So these are these people are still on television. I don't know how they pay their television bill, and they can't hire a security guard to watch their property. So the whole thing is such a mess, and I never thought I was going to see this day, but I set up a new YouTube channel, and I'm trying to get it up and running again, and so we'll see what happens.
But I pray that you do. I don't want to take you off track from what, Brenda's presentation, although it's not totally unrelated.
No, it's not unrelated. I think it is related because it's related to the whole apostasy and this whole movement of the false prophets, that these wolves in sheep's clothing that parade as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think the emergent church movement and some of these other people that call themselves ministers, like Benny Hinn and Paula White and Kenneth Copeland and Creflo Dollar and the whole bunch of them,
I think it's
all
just
going
a
to join
different
forces.
Flavor. Yeah, it's just a different flavor of deception, you know. And just like you go to the store and you can see all the different flavors of suckers, they think it's the same way. There's just a different flavor. And James, you talked about the mysticism. Kabbalah is uniting with the same thing, mysticism. So they're actually even involving Kabbalah into that, which is a Jewish cult of occult kind of practice. So and then you have that. You have how many? I am so amazed. How many cults there are today just in the Hebrew roots movement. The Hebrew, going back to the core Hebrew roots, there's so many cults now that have risen up within this movement, the true Israel and the body of Messiah and the sacred name. They're all the same type of cults, just different, but they're the same thing. The same thing is the same direction away from the gospel of Jesus. And so, today we are talking about the New Age and emerging church. And a lot of people in even the emerging church is boasting on the fact that, well, we don't have a creed and we don't have a doctrine, which is not true at all. Everybody has a creed. Everybody has doctrine. Everybody believes something, and that's what a creed is what do you believe?
Yeah.
And I try to help people to see is that, the emerging church all agree together on certain foundational things. And I'd like to, for the listeners, so that they can identify whether this is in their church or not, what some of these beliefs they all agree on. And you will find this in all the emerging church movements. They agree that there is no true answer, and no one can say that they have it. Even the Bible doesn't have it. That's one of the things they all agree on. Two, the Bible is a narrative of writings of different people that tell their story and share their experiences of God. It is metaphorical in nature, not literal. It cannot be used as an authoritative work. It was only intended for insight about God through the eyes of others. Therefore, the use of other sacred scriptures that talk about God can be used to improve our understanding of God. That would mean the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindu scriptures, the Mormon book, the Book of Mormon. All of those can be used. So they all agree that this is what they agree on. Three, they agree that truth can be found in any religion, and to reject these truths is a rejection of God. A rejection of other religions as a whole narrows the playing field for truth and is nearsighted, pharisaical, harsh, and uncompassionate, and also judgmental. So that went in there too. So four, this is another point that they all agree on. Christians, I say this in quotes, you and me, that's us, focus too much on salvation and life after death instead of our lives here on earth. They, which is the emerging church, believe heaven or hell is what you make it. It's a state of mind, not an eternal place.
Oh, that sounds like Rob Mueller.
Yeah. Well, there he's part of, he is in the ecumenical side, which is kind of the same difference. On the other end, it's not Protestant; it's more Catholic, Roman Catholic, and so he kind of edges over on that side more so than the emerging side. But he can agree with all of them. Five, we live in a hurtful world. Repentance is being healed from those things that have hurt us and what others have done to us. Carl Jung philosophy is very popular among emergents. Another thing that they all agree on is Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. This kingdom of God includes all religions. No one is exempt except those who claim the kingdom of God is about Jesus as the only way of salvation. This is too narrow, and Jesus did not claim to start a new religion. What Jesus said about himself is redefined. They all agree on this. This is all core teachings in the emerging church movement. And lastly, this is just a general overview of what I've found, and I've condensed this all. It says, a general negative attitude about Christians, those who interpret the Bible as a literal work, that's you and me. Christianity is a man-made, organized religion. Christians are closed-minded, judgmental people. Christians are arrogant to think that they alone have the true religion.
Oh.
This is what they all agree on. There's popularity in this that says, God hates religion, but loves Jesus. I hate the church, but loves Jesus, or something like that. It's popular to say that, I even did this years ago. I can't today because there's too many misinterpretations. Christianity is not a religion, or, what you believe is not a religion. It is a relationship. Well, I can't say that anymore today because, it is a religion. Christianity is a religion, mind you. It's a religion that God himself established with the temple. I mean, that was religious. That was all these rituals that they did to get to God's presence. But through Jesus, he established a certain kind of creed and defined certain things that mark us as Christians, as followers of Jesus. I guess that's a belief. That's what religion is a belief in a way of going about your belief. So to say that Jesus hates religion but loves people is, even though he hates false religion and he hates rituals that don't bring you anywhere near to God, or just is self in, you're following yourself, or you're following your own rituals and thinking that by doing good or doing something will get you to heaven. Those are the things that he doesn't like. But he did not say, do not follow me in what, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And he did everything he was supposed to do. Well, and he did everything he was supposed to do. And I stopped myself because the reason I stopped myself is because the Hebraic Roots movement says you have to follow the Torah and the Ten Commandments in order to be saved. And if you don't, you're not saved. So, now you've got that side where you can say, I'm following Jesus and mimicking him. And what did he do? But that's not my salvation. Jesus is my salvation.
That's
Jesus,
right.
Who did it for me. He's the one that paid the price. he followed everything to the T, to the and in him do I find my righteousness, not in myself. But that's the other side where they're saying ritual is what saves you. And
yeah, that's the beautiful part about salvation. And you even, there's so many people even out there that are trying to make that difficult too.
Well, that battle is not a new battle. That the very same things that Brenda just described is exactly what was going on in the early councils in Jerusalem, where they were the Judaizers, sort of the
pagans or neo Christians or whatever they were called. They were back then too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's not. And
They said you had to practice the law to be saved, and then that didn't fly. So they said, well, okay, you can be saved without the law, but you have to be sanctified by practicing the law.
Yeah.
Right.
But I know for myself, and I think I had mentioned it last week, when I was born again, I wasn't sure about Jesus even when I got down on my knees and asked him into my life. I wasn't sure. I asked him to come in, and I said, Jesus, if you are real, come into my life and change my life. Now, I didn't know about the resurrection. I didn't know about that he was born of a virgin. You know, I didn't have the seven steps and the Roman road and all that. But you know, in my heart, I asked him. And when I asked him, and I meant that with my heart, I was honest about really wanting him in my life. So then he did come into my life, and the next day I was a changed person. So I know the born again experience is real. It's not difficult. You don't have to say certain words, and you come to believe all that after all the doctrines and the principles that are set forth in the Word of God. And we want to make salvation easy for people, for them to know that whatever they've done in their life, whatever sin they've committed, that God can forgive them and give them a new life, because being born again is real. And we're out of time for today, but I want to thank James Sundquist for calling in. And James, would you just mention your new video? You have a new DVD series out.
It's called Making Merchandise of Men's Souls, and you can see the trailer on our website, which is perfectpeaceplan.com. And on our website, you go to the media page, you can see the film documentary I did with Richard Bennett on Emerging Church / Mysticism.
Oh, wow. Okay, so people should go there to perfectpeaceplan.com. That would be something that they should watch.
Yes, and that everything, I want to once again commend Brenda, because she just read the Hall of Horrors, the blacklist, and pretty much most of those names are completely, they're like a lazy Susan. They keep coming around in all the denominations. And so we really have to look at the grand scheme of the end times. Is the great falling away has to reach its full fruition and consummation. And when that happens, you have a one world religion, and they will obliterate. Jesus asked, when I return, will I find the faith on the earth? But there will be a remnant. And so we have that, but we still have to wake up to the fact that everything that Brenda has been describing is part and parcel to the whole convergence, and it's really, I think, accelerating at warp speed now to the place where, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Yes. Amen to that. So,
I'm thrilled your radio
program. I know we have to do this again because we didn't even really scratch the surface, but I think we should definitely, not next Saturday, but maybe the Saturday after, we can do this again. And, you know, if James wants to call in again, that would be wonderful, and talk about this whole issue of the emerging church and mysticism, and go over again that list, because I thought that list that you gave of the New Agers, and I think even some of the listeners wouldn't even know that, you know,
right.
know the comparisons. So
but you could spend several shows just on Leonard Sweet, Brian McLaren,
right.
you know, as you as Brenda could easily tell you.
He's a smart man. I like him. I actually like Phyllis Tickle. She's really nice to listen to, but she is so wrong. I like
yeah.
her personality, but
yeah.
She's so
well,
wrong.
They, some of them, yeah, that's true. You can you can like their personality, and I say that. I say even with Paula White, if I met her, I might even we might even like each other as people. And friends, iron sharpens iron, and you should be able to tell your friend, open rebuke is better than secret love, the Bible says. So, you know, maybe some of these people should listen to what we're saying and take it in and take it to God in prayer, and maybe it could help them, and especially help the body of Christ. But, Brenda, would you please pray for the people today before we close the program?
Yes, Lord, I thank you so much for all the listeners that you have that is either listening to this live or in archive. And I ask you, Lord, to stir their hearts to know what the truth is. Lord, you bring life to all of us, that your salvation is free. It's without any kind of manipulation or any kind of a requirement outside of coming to Jesus. Jesus said, come to me and follow me, and he gives life. And so I pray for anybody who is listening to this show that you, Lord, will stir in their hearts, draw them to yourself, and that they will find that they can come to you in repentance and find mercy and true salvation, which is in you alone. And then I ask you to stir in the hearts of all these people to know the scriptures so well that error will be able to identify it without question, but you can't know it unless you read the scriptures. And I ask you to stir in the hearts of the listeners to do that. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to know such a great and awesome God. And that you have taken the time to let us get to know you. You've written so many pages down on paper in words. Yay! So some people say you can't even explain God in words. You did a good job of explaining yourself. And I ask you to help us all to know you better. Because in Jeremiah 9:23-24, it says, do not boast in riches or in strength, or in knowledge, but boast in the fact that you know the God of the scriptures, that you know that they know you, who exercises justice, righteous, and mercy on the earth.
Amen.
Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I want to thank James Sunquist for calling in. Thank you so much. And, you know, we will schedule a program. I'll schedule 2 hours, and
yeah.
We can just go at it, because you really need more time. And
yeah.
It's not, you know, nobody can hear it now. It'll be archived, the whole thing, but we're off the
yeah.
air. But anyway.
Those who are listening, they can. I'm actually going to replay on As the Day Approaches,
okay.
an archive copy of my show that I did last year in January of the Emerging Church in the New Age. So
yeah.
is the Emerging Church a New Age? So I go into more detail on that show.
Okay.
And so I'm gonna re-archive. You know, we do it tomorrow at 3:30. So those who want to follow up on that, just join me on As the Day Approaches. It's not going to be live, but you can at least get some more information if you're interested in that.
Yeah, and you can check out James Sunquist. He's got some great books, many, many thousands of hours of research that he's done, and go to his website, perfectpeaceplan.com. And anyway, we'll book the show again and book it for 2 hours and just go at it. How's that?
I'd love to be a guest, but you girls did a great job without my saying a word. But I'm glad to be with you today. Anything, great fellowship.
James, thanks for calling in. It's great to hear you. And I'll be looking forward maybe to hearing from
you. You could have Paul Jacobson, who was, this is a separate topic, but he was persecuted and terrorized.
Was he willing to come on?
Yeah, he wants to do a show, and I highly encouraged him that where the purpose-driven evil empire has, they've tried to split up his marriage at his church in Illinois. And he's got a great testimony. He's very articulate. And so, and then Karen Panzer is going to put a link on to the, if you do record him, then you'll have it.
Okay. All right, then. Great. All right, so we'll be in touch, and we'll do it again. I really thank you very much, James, for calling in, because it really made for a great program today. Thank you. Thank you, Brenda, too. Thank
you're
you for everything you're doing.
Welcome.
All right. We'll talk soon, everybody.
Look forward.
Bye-bye.
Bye,
everybody.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.